Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe. Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, where we join this episode, already in progress.
Now we finally get to the part where they're talking about the Iraqi Stargate, which is, I think, what we all thought I would be doing. At least when I started this episode, this is where I thought I would be, but it's not. We have so many places to go still, but we are actually going to get to the Iraqi Stargate part now.
I'm glad we're starting this episode by getting back to it.
Yeah, getting back on topic. If there is a Stargate existing in southern Iraq that will play a role in such a prophesied return of the gods, then it is most likely that clandestine government organizations greatly influence or control the Bush administration are aware of the existence and the role of the Stargate. Iraq's president, Hussein, is most likely also aware of such a Stargate's existence, as might be inferred by his architectural project intent on reviving the grandeur of early Mesopotamia civilizations and cementing his place as the restorer of Iraq's glory. More significantly, his permission for a German team of archaeologists to resume excavations in the Sumerian city of Uruk. The knowledge of a buried Stargate may also be part of the reason why the German government has been publicly opposed to a U.S. preemptive war. If in fact both the Hussein regime and the Bush administration believe, then there most likely exists a race to gain access to it and to control it. William Henry's thesis is that this is indeed the political underpinning of the terror conflict in Iraq. There's a few things in that paragraph I need to go back to. First and foremost, it's clearly a Stargate because Saddam Hussein said he's going to revive the grandeur of early Mesopotamian civilization.
Clearly, that's a Stargate.
In his past glory. Yes, yeah. Clearly Stargate.
That's definitely a Stargate. If I've ever heard a Stargate referred to, that was it.
Is that not just make America great again? It's just what dictators say, is we need to restore ourselves to our past glory.
Oh, absolutely. But that's also what you say when you have a Stargate.
Yeah, that is also. It's not what you say when you have a Stargate.
Well, exactly.
But it's also what dictators say. They need to bring themselves back to a past glory.
Both could be right. And he's not wrong in saying that he has a Stargate, because that's probably exactly what I would say if I had a Stargate. But I would also probably say it if I was a dictator and didn't have a Stargate.
Fair enough. Because you pretend to have a Stargate if you
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If a team of archaeologists was close to unearthing a Stargate, you think Saddam Hussein's gonna let him be German?
No, he's definitely not just gonna allude to it in speeches either, probably.
That's one of those things, kind of like if you develop a nuke, you say you have a nuke, not that you're going to make your country great again.
Yeah.
You're going to say, I have a Stargate, don't fuck with me.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I'm thinking of is how great the time before 2012 was for 2012 conspiracy theories and all of this stuff that's going on. That was a nice time.
It really was.
Totally unrelated. I'm just...
It might have just been that we were in our teens to early 20s years in that time span,
I was very receptive of it. It may have molded me into this person that's sitting here today. Not Stephen Greer. Let me be clear.
It is really good that we need to address that. I also haven't said that, and I need to address very specifically.
Yeah,
Stephen Greer is not the reason I got into this position.
Stargates, though, maybe. It might have been a little.
Potentially.
It might have been a little.
Anyhow, I just needed to address, he doesn't defend this position at all. Oh yeah, there was a German team of archaeologists there.
Yeah.
And Saddam said we're going to make Iraq great again. Holy shit, Chelsea.
That's a little worrisome.
No, it's MAGA. Sorry. I was going to say it was Maya, but it's make Iraq great again.
Oh, no. We forgot how to spell letters.
I know, but it was almost the Maya calendar.
It's close
right
enough.
There.
It's 2012 all over again.
It was the MAGA calendar.
It's the same thing at this point. Nobody knows what's happening.
But everybody's real excited for that time, but also they don't want it to come because they're making so much money off.
It's just almost exactly like what's happening right now.
But not quite, and that is going to come up at the end of the episode, Chelsea.
Oh, good. I hope it does because I have comments if it's what I think it's going to be about.
From the perspective of the Bush administration, control of the Sumerian Stargate would enable clandestine government organizations to continue their global campaign of non-disclosure of the ET present. How the Stargate's going to help them there, I don't know.
Is that a direct quote from the Bush administration?
This is cited, so I can look up what they are talking about here.
Is this what they whispered into George Bush's ear when we thought he was being told about the 9/11 attack as the meme?
It could have been.
Yes, there's a Stargate in Iraq. Stargate is being reopened.
The citation for this says, for more discussion of this non-disclosure, see MSALA, The Need for Exopolitics.
Okay, so...
I really like that citation.
Okay.
If you want to learn more about this, read more.
Go look into my book.
Because I'm not going to explain it to you here.
Okay, I'm going to assume that the Bush administration did not comment on the Stargate situation directly.
At no point after this happens, is there any evidence of a Stargate? Is there any discussion on a actual governmental level that there's a Stargate?
That's a Stargate.
But we're going to keep reading this as if he has a good position.
I'm going to say we're going to be, this might
because,
be the surprise
Chelsea,
at the end.
Importantly, yeah. You're not supposed to diss him. This is his thing.
Who?
Is you have to sell us, Michael
Sell us. Okay. We've talked about so many people.
You can't. It's very important that you just take what he says as gospel and keep going. Like, okay. That's the entire starting point of exopolitics, is you have to assume everything is correct and move forward with it.
I don't know that we've talked about anybody that wasn't their stance.
But they don't say it. They don't say it.
That's true. It's an assumption. Okay, touche. Touche, Michael Sella. I did not question.
This is strongly implied by the Bush administration's penchant for secrecy and overturning many of the Freedom of Information initiatives from the earlier Clinton administration.
Oh, that was the answer to my question. Sorry. I should have just waited
one second.
Okay.
Control of the Stargate, in addition to any other Stargate that may have been established in the capital's other civilizations, examples Egypt, Inca, and Aztec, would presumably give clandestine government organizations greater leverage with ET races that are presently interacting with the planet, or are predicted to arrive on the scene in some event associated with the prophesied return of the gods. At the very least, control of the Sumerian Stargate would allow clandestine government organizations to dictate the pace of global transformation that ET races promise to introduce to the Earth with their advanced technologies, superior knowledge, and heightened psychic abilities. On the part of the Hussein regime, control of the Stargate would allow him to fulfill prophecy by facilitating the return of an advanced race of ETs, the elite Anunnaki. President Hussein probably imagines that in return for his loyalty to the elite Anunnaki, he would be rewarded with a position of great global authority who would solve all humanity's problems and end the rule of clandestine government organizations perpetuating non-disclosure of the ET present. Weirdly enough, he's coming off very pro-Iraq.
He really... it really gave a different feel at the end there.
You say end. It keeps going, Chelsea.
Well, in this moment here, it gives a different feel.
I don't know. It gave a very weird vibe
there.
Where he's like, yeah, we're pro-Iraq. Significantly, European governments such as Germany and perhaps even France and Russia may be giving themselves greater leverage in future control of Stargate by offering diplomatic cover for the Hussein regime as a quid pro quo for allowing the resumption of archaeological digging in Uruk. These governments and the clandestine organizations associated with them that have access to the knowledge over the ET presence most likely have deep suspicion over the willingness of the US to share information and control over the future of the Sumerian Stargate. Sitchin's thesis of an ancient ET presence in Sumer, combined with the notion of a variety of ET transportation devices described by other authors in their research of ancient civilizations and resumption of archaeological excavations in 2002, gives support to William Henry's thesis of Stargate that lies buried in the sands of southern Iraq. This provides important contextual information that is helpful in understanding the true motivations of the Bush administration on launching a preemptive attack on Iraq.
I'm pretty convinced, I would say. This is a pretty thorough paper. It has a lot of history behind it. It's well researched. Why would I argue with it?
Importantly, I also find it weird that they're talking about this ancient technology that's like so far past where we are that Iraq seems to have almost had. And do you consider Iraq an advanced country in the grand scheme of things?
You know, I don't know a whole lot about Iraq, and just off the little I know, I would say no. And that
even before our
invasion,
where we put them back 50 years, I would never say that they were more advanced than the US. And I do think that the invasion of Iraq in both 94 and 2002 proved that.
Yeah, I would say that's correct. Absolutely.
So I just don't understand this.
I don't know. I mean, you get a civilization that goes like as far back as humanity itself-ish.
Well, not only that, it's linked to Atlantis. And sorry, I don't think it comes up in this article. But he says, oh yeah, no, the Stargate's linked to Atlantis. That's a big thing that I don't know if it gets stated in this article, but is something that Michael Sala does mention. Yeah, it's not
in
here.
My Bible history may be a little rusty, but Garden of Eden would go back to the creation of humanity. We know that it goes well past there, but the biblical creation of humanity, at least.
Yeah.
And that's...
No, you are correct. Technically, it is. If you're a Christian, you believe Garden of Eden is where man first came.
Clearly, it goes back far, far, far beyond there. But that's kind of a cool thing in the fact that that is there. So to get back to my point, instead of just ending there, you would think, are they more advanced than the US? Probably not, but the history goes back so much longer. And that is something.
Yeah, but that's like every part of the world.
That's true, except white people in North America.
North America makes a point of deleting its history that goes further back than a certain point.
That's the same thing as I said, except white people in North America. You're absolutely right on that one. So that's my ignorance showing on that one. So I don't know exactly what I was trying to say.
That's okay. We can just keep going. There's still a lot to read. Okay.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
It may be argued that the Bush administration and the Hussein regime are both in a race against time to gain access and control of the Stargate in the ruins of Uruk or some other location in Iraq before the prophesied return of the Anunnaki. At the moment, a stalemate exists. Hussein controls the grounds in southern Iraq and is permitting the German-led excavation in Uruk, while the US-led coalition controls the sky and is monitoring. The Bush administration wants control of Iraq territory to take control of excavation of Uruk to uncover its buried Stargate. In contrast, Hussein wants to find and activate the Stargate for his greater glory, presumably the benefit of humanity. I just want to state there too, they're weirdly assuming like the only thing that can be gathered from the ruins is the Stargate. Like, that's the only thing they left behind, but they also had to leave behind because there was a cataclysmic event at the time.
Yeah.
You got to assume that could not be the only thing there.
No, you wouldn't think so. And I also want to add right here that this is a fairly detailed, completely made up history.
I do love it. It's very institutionally written.
It, like, is.
It is very much from Educana around.
It's the educated really class
that are doing this.
Really well thought up BS.
But also, I find it weird that they're like, it's either the US is going to go and take the Stargate or Saddam's going to open it. Those are the only options.
Well, you see that now, but with other things.
And also, I do need to say too, it does make sense how you're writing this, as you have come to this point without having to have critically analyzed anything that got you to this point.
No.
Because that's how exopolitics works.
Exactly. Oh, you can do whatever you want in exopolitics, I think, from my understanding of exopolitics.
Is Calvin Ball of political commentary.
To my point, exactly. Like, this is so fucking detailed for something that's not, like, a real thing
written
at all.
In reality, yeah.
Yeah, no. Like, it's fucking detailed as fuck.
The primary evidentiary support for the above discussion is admittedly thin for conventional public policy experts and may sound better suited to a fictional thriller than a serious public debate. From a conventional perspective, a scattered assortment of independent archaeological authors, radical exegetical interpretations of biblical texts, the writing of channels of ET knowledge, speculative papers from astronomers hardly constitute a persuasive source of information for understanding the motivation of US. The prevailing explanation of a Bush administration as either to eradicating weapons of mass destruction and or being driven by oil interests and imperial ambitions would predictably prevail for those unconvinced by the above sources. There is, however, some important circumstantial evidence which lends plausibility to the Henry thesis of a Stargate as the true focus of the Bush administration. The first piece of circumstantial evidence are the overwhelming whistleblower testimonies confirming the existence of clandestine government organizations responsible for suppressing public knowledge of an ET presence and which controls all official interactions. From an exopolitical perspective, the clandestine suppression of a contemporary ET presence supports the conclusion there is also an active clandestine suppression of an ancient ET presence, which also has significant public policy implications. So he just extrapolates fully from Stephen Greer.
Yike.
The second piece of circumstantial evidence is the powerful diplomatic support given by Germany to the Hussein regime in warning off a preemptive military strike. So powerful has been the support that the U.S. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld disparagingly referred to them as the old Europe in response to a reporter on January 22, 2003. You're thinking of Europe as Germany and France? I don't. I think that's old Europe. If you look at the entire NATO Europe today, the center of gravity is shifting to the east, and there are a lot of new members. Take the list of all the members of NATO and all of those who have been invited in recently. What is it? 26? Something like that? But you're right. Germany has been a problem. That's the quote that he's using. I don't think you had to have just not wanted to invade Iraq because you thought they had a Stargate that would have benefited humanity. I think there were other reasons.
Not that I can think of.
Rather than backtracking on what was a diplomatic bombshell, the Bush administration has instead continued to go to extraordinary lengths to isolate the German and French positions on Iraq. For example, the administration encouraged the leaders of Spain, Portugal, Italy, the UK, Hungary, Poland, Denmark, and the Czech Republic to write letters to the Wall Street Journal on January 30th that said, quote, "The Iraqi regime represent a clear threat to world security," end quote. Rather than merely an intense diplomatic debate over different policy positions on Iraq, the striking language and positions taken in this debate suggest a more fundamental conflict over issues hidden from the public view. It is likely that there exists a factional struggle between clandestine government organizations set up to deal with the ET presence in the US. He has just completely thrown out potential for, like, oh no, it's about the oil. Like, he has completely disregarded that.
Oh, he is full on the story. Like, he's all in on it.
Yeah, it's one of those things I just love this about his extraction policy is we don't have to discuss anything that gets me to my final position. We just have to discuss my final position.
Okay.
Like, that's how he writes things. And once we get to the end of this episode, that's just like his lifestyle. that he has chosen for himself, Chelsea.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't put that outside of the realm of possibility for somebody that's saying things like this.
The third piece of circumstantial evidence is the resumption of excavations of the first capital of Sumer, Uruk, by a German archaeological team in 2002. Given the prominence of Uruk and its likelihood as the site for a Sumerian stargate, then resumption of excavation raises questions over why they were resumed and what is being sought. Given that political tensions in Iraq have not significantly diminished since 2002, with it being a likely source of future military conflict with the US, it can be suggested that there are powerful hidden motivations for what on the surface appears to be a purely scientific dig on an ancient Sumerian capital. The fourth piece of circumstantial evidence was the destruction of the space shuttle Columbia during its final descent on February 1, 2003. At approximate height of 38 miles and traveling at Mach 18, one of the astronauts was the first Israeli in space, Colonel Ilan Raman from the Israeli Air Force. The destruction of the Columbia occurred 60 minutes before touchdown, when its fuel tanks would have been virtually empty. A likely source of the shuttle's destruction, given the speed and height of the Columbia, would have been some form of attack from an organization or state possessing military well beyond most nations. The likely cause would have been a clandestine government's organization that desired to send an important message to its rival, the US, over the threatened preemptive attack on itself, Iraq. When all primary and circumstantial evidence is gathered, what emerges a very plausible case that supports Henry's thesis of a power struggle at the heart of ET presence and the continued clandestine suppression of ET related information and its full implications. The interpretation of the motivation of the Bush administration in terms of the concerns raised in Bush's 2003 State of the Union address, or the corporate and imperial interests suggested by his critics, such as Robert Fisk and Michael Lind, can all be described as part of the surface layer of motivations driving the Bush administration. At a deeper level, it is likely that there is great anxiety by clandestine German and European governments who have gained access to the Sumerian Stargate or other ET technology buried in Uruk. Or if the Stargate were to somehow reactivate without clandestine government personnel present to monitor and control this. President Bush's State of the Union address outlining the need for a preemptive attack on Iraq, in most likelihood, masks a hidden agenda to gain access to the Stargate or other ET technology in Uruk and elsewhere in Iraq. Such access would presumably perpetuate clandestine government control over global resources and information. That's his paper.
Holy shit.
There's policy implications and recommendations after this, but what do you think?
That was a lot to take in. That took like a week or so to read.
2 weeks, in fact.
Two weeks to read. Wow. That was a well thought out exopolitical paper.
I think that's the best exopolitical paper we've ever read.
So, does he at all address 9/11?
That's a great question.
To do with the Stargate?
I will say no.
Okay.
And
you wouldn't think he
to
would.
To be fair,
what does it have to do with Stargate?
The invasion of Iraq has very little to do with, because it has to do with Osama bin Laden, who is
Anunnaki.
Yeah, of course. No, he's from Saudi Arabia and lived in Afghanistan. Both, weirdly enough, not part of Iraq.
Interesting. I didn't actually know that until you just said that. Okay.
Yeah, just a weird little thing that kind of gets disregarded when we talk about the war in Iraq.
Okay. No other thoughts, I guess. That just kind of blew my mind. I didn't know that.
Fair enough. We'll move into the policy implications and recommendations. If the exopolitical perspective is a more accurate description of the motivations driving the Bush administration in pushing for a preemptive war, then the following policy recommendations can be made. First, the quality of evidence substantiating a historic ET presence and clandestine government cover-up has a significant degree of credibility and persuasiveness. I just love that. If everything I say is correct above and you don't fight it, then we can take it as fact and move forward with it.
I mean, he's not wrong.
It is very significant and credible.
He's not wrong.
This supports the creation of a new field of public policy, exopolitics, which would study the historic ET presence in terms of its implications for public policy. Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue with any of it so far.
No, in fact, that's part of his thesis, is don't argue with it.
And I won't because he said that.
Second, there is need to promote official government disclosure of the historic ET presence and or the impending return of these ETs, and to make representative the policy making process that has evolved in government responses to such information. Third, evidence suggests that the present military preparations for a war against Iraq have little to do with weapons mass destruction, but are designed to perpetuate U.S. clandestine government control of information concerning the historic and present ET presence. Such a preemptive war should therefore be stopped, and a resolution between the U.S. and Iraq should be encouraged. Fourth, evidence suggests that the Iraq conflict and the destruction of the Columbia space shuttle mask a deep factional struggle between clandestine government organizations associated with different national governments. It is recommended that there is a public disclosure of these organizations and that these organizations accountable to elected public officials. The final policy recommendation is that there needs to be more efforts in determining the extent to which congressional oversight is required for organizations created in different countries to deal with all aspects of ET presence, both past and present, and on the implications of a projected return of a race of ETs. This paper suggests that the best mechanism for responding to the existence of ancient ET technology in the ancient Sumerian capital of Uruk and or elsewhere is a willingness by major world governments and associated clandestine organizations to share information and control over these assets that are ET. A preemptive war conducted largely for the control of a Stargate in Uruk, which pits the US and its allies against an Iraq which is tacitly supported by key European nations, could be calamitous. If indeed the prophesied return signified an actual physical event involving the ancient ET race that played a role in the start of human civilization, competing clandestine government organizations struggling through a proxy war over the control of an ancient ET technology in order to prepare for those events corresponding to the prophesied return would hardly send the best example of a mature human civilization responsible enough to continue to exercise sovereignty over the Earth resources. The Columbia space shuttle may well have been a high-profile victim of such a proxy war intended to send a message to U.S.-based clandestine organizations over the preemptive war. Human sovereignty may therefore be at stake at the very time where there exists an opportunity for a rapid movement forward in the evolutionary growth of human consciousness. It is up to all humanity to decide how we respond to the challenge posed by clandestine organizations struggling over Iraq's historic resources to further their respective secret agenda. That's the end, except for one end note. I would like to thank my good friend Yazdi Kalegi for his insights on the Columbia space shuttle tragedy. And that's the end of the article.
Holy shit.
He is all over the frickin' map.
But he has such a background behind him that he writes it well.
You could believe it.
Yeah.
Based on how he's writing it, if you don't know how to critically read.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, he cites everything nicely and everything. And it seems like he knows what he's talking about.
Weirdly, I actually see, and this is just an aside from this part, it's weird that the conspiracy theorist in 2003 is not pro-Republican and right-wing.
No, it certainly took a shift, didn't it?
He doesn't necessarily say he's anti-George Bush, but he's anti-George Bush in it.
In my opinion, it's only been something that's come out in the last
4 years.
5 years, maybe.
You know, it was COVID. It was yeah, COVID where
it
that
was COVID,
happened.
Wasn't it? Yep.
For
yep.
all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But it did certainly happen.
Wow. I'm not sure how to take this all in because it was a lot to take in.
He wrote it, but also skipped over a ton of shit that he should have actually discussed and argued, which kind of bugs me a
lot. Probably because there's some pretty big things that he missed.
Not only big things he missed, just exopolitics assumes this. So we don't need to discuss this.
He's the authority on exopolitics, so he's technically right.
So, okay, but that doesn't mean you're right and we should actually discuss to get to the point you get to.
No, but he also said that you don't ask questions really about this.
Yeah, like, fair enough.
Yeah, seems to be all tracking for me.
So weirdly, Chelsea, I need you to remember a week ago, which is...
I'll try my best.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words. When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
We're going back to the Vice article because they interview Michael Sala.
Oh, fuck, I forgot about Vice. They interviewed him?
Yeah.
They got him for it. Fuck off. He was like, yeah, I'll do it. Wow.
Oh, yeah. No, this guy is just like so open to attention.
Okay.
Before we get into the nitty-gritty, I had to figure out if a Stargate was just as cool as Hollywood made it out to be. Quote, it's kind of like instantaneous space-time means of travel where people are instantaneously transported from one area to another, end quote, said Sala.
Oh, so he knows all about them.
Yeah.
He's now the authority.
Stargate, okay, apparently found near in the Nasiriyah, a city about 370 kilometers southeast of Baghdad, in the ancient city of Ur. Within that city is the Great Ziggurat, a massive temple which had a Stargate. Some theories also argue that there is a Stargate in one of the basements of Hussein's palace, where he probably did some pretty freaky stuff. I can get that part out.
Is he just making this up?
No, this is kind of what people believed at the time.
Oh, okay.
So what he's saying in this article, weirdly, is just what Sala's been saying. It's incorporating everything from the Stargate story. But this is the weird thing I ran into the problem of. I couldn't just do a Sala story. I couldn't just do a Stargate story. But they weirdly amalgamated them into something where I couldn't quite tell the whole story.
Okay. Gotcha.
I do apologize to everybody. These also might be their own episodes sometime in the future, weirdly enough. Because there is enough on both of these things to do another episode on. While the location and number of Stargates is in dispute, one thing the theorists all do agree on is that the Iraq War wasn't the first time that a foreign power showed interest in it. In what sounds like Indiana Jones fanfic, the Nazis were fighting the British during World War II over control of a Stargate in this region. Fast forward several decades, and according to some theorists, in 1980s, the Saddam started doing a restoration of the temple ring, the world, which they also take to mean the Illuminati. Oddly, the theories don't really mention the first Iraq war, but after years of work, Hussein either was able to get the Stargate working or learned from it, and Big Daddy America got concerned. Quote from Sala again, the Bush administration recognized that Hussein had very, very valuable, relevant information concerning the history of the planet, either technology or text, basically confirming this, and he was going to release this to the general public. I think that was a big part of the reason why the Bush administration went into Iraq, to stop Hussein from revealing and also to get control themselves, end quote. Sala went on to tell me that while he wasn't the first person to write about the theory, he was the first person to write in 2003 an in-depth article regarding it. Since that time, he said numerous people furthered the idea. Many whistleblowers have come forward that have corroborated the story. Quote, essentially, more and more people are coming forward saying that they have been involved in classified programs where these technologies are used quite regularly and that they are found all over the planet. Iraq is just one place they're found. They're also located in places like Iran and Syria, which is why there is a push for America to go into Iran and intervene in the Syrian civil war. All this is very significant in what drives international conflict. Any congressman who wants to investigate this topic, if they take steps to actually investigate it, they are quietly approached and given the old carrot and stick treatment, and most congressmen accept the carrot and are basically promoted, end quote. There is hope, though, that the websites covering these theories are just a click away from InfoWars, and it's not too hard to imagine President Trump having one of his sleek and smooth underlings read it out to him before switching on Ancient Aliens. Like, imagine him sitting there in his gold throne, leaning forward like a hungry baby bird with ancient aliens reflecting in his eyes. No. So maybe Trump's recent comments about how the U.S. should have stolen Iraq's oil and his statement of maybe we'll have another chance are actually about that sweet, sweet teleportation tack. That's the end of the Vice article. Chelsea, any comments?
We're coming up to a weird spot. This is all very weird.
It's gonna go weird from here, too.
It's all, like, such crazy conspiracy. Like, it's given me the feel-goods because I remember all of this happening, but it's, like, such a weird spot to look back on.
Yeah, and also, funny enough, like, the U.S. bombed Iran and Israel bombed Iran.
Oh, yeah.
Not that long ago from here.
Yeah, yeah, we're coming up on a lot of stuff where we're looking back and being like...
Hmm. That's just the Middle East. That's how it is. It doesn't guarantee that there's a Stargate there.
Yeah.
I feel like we should... approach this topic as if there is no Stargate, and then only if it's proved that there's a Stargate there can we start moving forward with that.
But could you imagine if we went in there, or it's not us, Canada wouldn't go in there, but they went in there and they're like, there really was a Stargate.
To be fair, if Canada went in there, technically, if there was a Stargate, I don't think it would just be their first learning. I feel like they would have to address the fact that, oh, by the way, there's a Stargate. Yeah. It wouldn't be like, oh, look at that. Stargate there. Look at that.
Yeah, nobody knew about this.
Weird.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Chelsea, that's that portion of this episode. Now we have to get into Michael Sella.
Were we just talking about him?
We were reading Michael Sella, right,
okay.
But we are not talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
Now we need to talk about him. Because, Chelsea, just Google Michael Sella, please.
Okay, here he is.
Which is the first website that shows up?
He's pretty crazy looking. Exopolitics.org.
Go to that website.
Wow.
First thing that should be known.
Really combing all his hair forward.
He is. Strangely enough, I get a lot of Corey Good vibes from his YouTube screens, pictures.
Yeah, it's a little aggressive. I must say, it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people with bags over their heads and targets on their heads and UFOs and Michael Sella. I was just so distracted by his hair all combed forward. I didn't think they did that anymore. That there
just
was
in that one picture anymore. Too. The rest, he does different things with his hair. It's just that one.
It's just this one. Clearly, he decided to do a little something different with his hair.
Never mind. The Star Trek one below is also.
Yeah, it seems pretty aggressive, if I was to be honest. Oh,
Chelsea.
I just scrolled down. Oh,
this is. What the fuck is this? This is beautifully. Yeah, this is beautifully one of those like 1990s style websites. One of like four that he owns.
Oh, I just expanded. Why is there a guy in a mask next to him? Like, this isn't just a picture. This
Atlantic
is literally
Space Arc Arises.
Someone in a balaclava. And then if I scroll down a little bit more, is that a blue avian?
Chelsea, I need to go to the very top, actually.
Uh-huh.
And put your mouse cursor over witnesses.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh no.
I'm now gonna share my screen.
It has everything here. Well, it doesn't have everything, but it has all I need to know.
I'm now gonna share my screen
because
we're gonna
bitch.
Go listen to his most current statement on Corey Good.
Oh no. When is this from? Does he know that Corey Good admitted that everything was made up?
Oh yes, he does.
Okay, good.
In fact, this is what the statement's about.
Mention Corey Good. And so so the Wire Files talked about Corey Good. And I worked closely with Corey Good for 6 years, from 2015 to 2021. And we parted company in a friendly way in the sense that you know, my relationship with Corey was positive. I mean, we never had any real problem in terms of any kind of financial disagreements or anything like that.
Financial disagreements?
We had...
Why?
It was all kind of on the up and up. But then in 2021, Corey took exception to the information that I was getting from a number of insiders that I was promoting. it wasn't just Elena Denham, but it was also Tony Rodriguez and some others. But one of the things about Corey Good that is pointed out in this episode of the Y Files is his legal deposition in a court case where
the way he's clicking his tongue is driving me crazy
on a key aspect of his testimony that he had given to me and to David Wilcock and to many others. I mean, in the time I worked with Corey, he was very clear that his revelations were based on him physically traveling to these different locations and having face-to-face encounters with inner Earth beings, extraterrestrials, going out into space, going to Mars. I mean, his incredible testimony, which I think was that helped kind of like expand our understanding of what's happening in secret space program and was corroborated by others such as William Tompkins, that he presented all that as his direct physical experiences. Now, when he gave his legal deposition, he backtracked. He said that that information was now something that was a product of his imagination, fantasy, even delusion. I mean, he even referred to it as delusion. So why would he do that? I suspect it has a lot to do with him wanting to claim intellectual property, to claim as his own intellectual property his testimony that was put out by Gaia TV. He's in a legal dispute with them. I don't want to go into that.
Also, I just need to put a break in here.
Yeah.
This is Gaia.
By doing this,
which just the Australian accent is beautiful on that.
I think he's done it for his reasons related to this kind of law case or this litigation with Gaia over intellectual property rights, but you know exactly what the nuances are, that's above my pay grade. But he has discredited himself and he has done a disservice to those of us that have been researching this field for decades and worked closely with him and supported his testimony and defended him from many public attacks. I defended Corey from many public attacks. But now he's discredited himself, and that is a shame because he really has undermined his credibility now as a legitimate source for understanding what's going on in space out there. So the Y Files goes into details into this and really lays out that Corey is now taking the position that his secret space program revelations were a product of his creative imagination, fantasy, and even delusion. So, very sad.
You gotta watch that episode.
Yeah, Y Files comes up a lot, weirdly enough, in the whole conspiracy world.
Oh.
He has no introspection. I have accepted Corey Good for five years.
Yeah.
As a credible source who is giving me information, who has lied about this stuff.
Yeah, he almost seemed to defend it as if it was something to get creative
licensing
back from Gaia. And he just kind of said, well, he kind of discredited himself in doing all of that.
I made it all up.
Yeah, but he kind of excuses it.
He posts this on the website just below this too. A whole thing about how it seems like Corey Good is just lying about all this information so he can get the intellectual pretty for it. But it's just kind of hilarious that he works with Corey Good. His entire thing, it seems, after 2003 with Exopolitics is the secret space program. And it makes full sense for it to be that. And Chelsea, it is so much that thing that he has a comment on the Epstein files. He always brings everything back to the secret space program. And somehow he even brings the Epstein thing back there. And I still, Chelsea, I don't understand his position on it. But it's part of the secret space program.
I think his original thing made it pretty clear what his opinion is on the Epstein files, because you sent it to me and you said about an hour, so I put it to about an hour, and you actually started off right where I got to and turned it off because he kept referring to what was going on with Epstein as honeypot over and over and over again. And it was really disturbing to me that he kept saying honeypot and putting quotations around young girls.
I had to listen to it because my entire episode's about him. But when he said young people, it really bugged me.
And not only that, when he kept saying honeypot about like people getting wrangled into the honeypot and end quote.
He takes away anybody's actual actions and saying like, oh, these young people, you couldn't resist them. Like anybody exactly. couldn't resist them. So exactly. they had to go to this.
Exactly. Is that not
really
how it
bugs me?
Is that not how it sounded? So I think that's
he really
his stance
dampens
on it.
Everything, and yeah, it's really I think that's bothersome.
His, I know.
Anyhow, his position is, but also the oil and gas industry needs money, so that's his position.
I can't say that this wasn't weird, but I'm also seeing he's kind of amalgamating everything into what he's talking, like literally everything into what he's talking about.
I shouldn't say everything, but he amalgamates everything that we've talked about, and it's weirdly that he is connected to a lot of people we have discussed, like Corey Good, like David Wilcock, like Stephen Greer, and like Linda Moulton Howe, because he mentions her thoroughly several times.
See, but there's other people to be tied to other than these people. It's not just all these people. He's just mentioning all these people who are straight up not credible sources.
Yeah, he does the X thing, which David Wilcock does now, and we'll do in the future.
He does do this. And is this like a live that he's doing on YouTube?
Oh yeah, he does it every week.
We're seeing more and more of this as well, of people like this going live, and just, they're there to make money too, so they just have to...
And unfortunately, getting way more views than we do, because this one has 18,000 views.
Wow!
Anyhow, Chelsea, those are my two episodes. Anything you want to say?
And I thought this was going to be a part of it, which it actually, funny enough, doesn't come up at all. Here, let me copy paste this into general. This is when you said that you were talking about the Stargate. This is my original reference for what you're talking about. And I know that I watched this for the first time with you way back when. And this is not a Stargate in Iraq. This is in the Gulf of...
Oh, the Gulf of Aden thing, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so that's what I originally thought of. And this is somebody who talked about a Stargate just off the coast of Saudi Arabia with Project Camelot, which...
they're going to be their own episode at some point.
Oh yeah, they're going to be their own episode. And that's Kerry Cassidy and Bill Ryan. And Bill Ryan's tied to Serpo.
Oh man, I love that Serpo article that he wrote.
Yeah, I know. It was so good. But that's
I tried to talk to the old man, but the people around the old man stopped me. Pretty suspicious.
I know. That was so good. And like all the signs pointed to no, but he just kept going on it. But that's what I originally thought of with the Stargate. And I thought it was this one. And then I looked it up while you're talking. Turns out totally different Stargate, I guess.
That is. That's in Yemen.
Yeah. And Project Camelot. So there's another thing there for you.
Oh yeah, no, there were lots of Stargates out there. So, and let me be clear that Michael Sala has said there are other Stargates out there. It's just
good for you, Michael Sala.
Like I've said, this is neither, weirdly enough, a Michael Sala or a Stargate episode, because I didn't go thoroughly enough into either.
It's super weird. We went on a journey. The only comment I think I have is, we've been through such a weird journey to the fringe. And people of our age just going through, who enjoy UFOs and conspiracy theories and stuff like that. Just even in this episode, when we're talking about going from pre-9/11 and then 9/11, and then you go past that and you go into COVID, and this guy just went full on. And many of the people that we see come up to, you know, 9/11, and then they come up to COVID, and then they just take a right turn. And you can tell that he's done
Chelsea, it. I'm just going to throw it out there. Is that time period December 21st, 2012?
It might be.
And is that when their left wing side died and their right wing side emerged?
You know what? I don't think it was then. I think it was a little bit later than that. I think it was very close, though. I think you're right. But here's another one that kind of went along with that. And I think it's been something that has been interesting me more and more of why the hell have they all gone that way? It just doesn't make sense in my head. I can't.
We're going to have to do a deep dive on that at some point. About
it might be too deep of a dive.
It's a really deep dive. In fact, there's an entire podcast on this subject.
And it's so super weird, though.
How conspiracy theorists went
what they have to tell themselves for this to continually be perpetuated. It just doesn't make sense in my head.
Listening to Michael Sala about how the Epstein files have to do with the secret space program makes no fucking sense.
But it just, you know, it was very quiet until the last couple days because I think they were all trying to process how they were going to spin the fact that Donald Trump doesn't exist.
They made no sense before that either. It's just the fact that they ended up there. That's the weird part.
We've been getting a lot of weird things out of why they would say such a thing this week. I don't know if that was a super weird episode. I'm not going to lie. Couple episodes.
It didn't address either of the topics that I wanted to. It did address some of them, but we could actually return to either of these topics.
We could.
Because it is,
in fact,
weirdly enough, big topics on both of those. Anyhow, I think this actually is a great place to end. I have been Taylor, here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.